cliffcentral.com.
Dumelang ba heso. Ena ke nako ya sipping tea. Ho nwa tea le ngwane no a ke mo ratanga holo ba re ke tsumi moraki. Monana re a bua. Re bua ntho tsohle. Ha ho monwana o re sa o nyekeng. Ha ho matrasi o re sa o petroling. Ha ho stupu se re sa se policing. Ha e ka neng ditaba tsa lenaneo di thulana le maikutlo a hao. Ka nnete ke taba hore o nyolose kgohlo o ye ka mane ka dipuding. O dula o ore letsatsi le tla le o hahle. O lokise monahano. Mo re a bua. Re bua puo pa. Tumi, ha ba shwe.
Indeedio, indeedio, it's very good to be back.
It feels good to be back, in the words of Eminem.
Because Dumi and I were separated for a while, a couple of weeks.
Hey!
Joe, and then last week there was an incident where I fell sick.
Hey, yeah.
Because I had catarrh in my throat.
Catarrh.
It's what we call it.
Hmm.
You know when you're just coughing, Jay,
yes.
And you've lost control,
yes,
of your breathing, and all of a sudden you can't do certain things.
So my absence can cause such.
Bona.
What a side effect.
I mean, if you didn't know it, now you know how deep my love for you runs.
No, man, mabale, man.
But, Dumi, you've been, welcome back. This is Sipping Tea. I'm Mabale Moloi. She's Dumi Moraike.
Yeah.
You've been working hard like a crazy woman.
I've been living up to the hashtag Beraka Musadi.
Mm.
I've been around the country. I have been rehearsing.
Mm.
I have been speaking a lot of English. Peppering it with Afrikaans where I must, and sprinkles of vernacular. But I've been working, yes, my dear.
No, it's fine. Work is a good thing. Work is something that we all need to be doing.
With the levels of unemployment in this country, working is not something you're allowed to complain about.
This is exactly true. Mm. But then I want us to talk about your show that's currently running, Agiri.
Oh.
Wait, kicks off tomorrow? No, it doesn't. It's already on. It's already on at the... At which theatre?
It is at the Market Theatre.
And this is yourself and who else is part of the gang?
This is myself and Vanessa Frost. I mean, I did this play in Grahamstown and we got a bit of an ovation nod there. So we thought, let's go play some more at the Market Theatre. And it's so funny, I got to do a stint at the Sexpo. To market the show.
What did you do exactly?
Yeah, I did some comedy, Charm. You know,
okay.
Sex and laughter go together,
okay,
like wine and cheese, you know?
Yeah, they do.
They do. And so this was my first Sexpo experience.
What?
I know,
had
right?
Had you never been to Sexpo?
Ever. Because I'm such a prude. I didn't know I'm a prude, but I realized I'm a prude.
Shit.
Yeah.
No, I the first time that we went to Sexpo, I remember the first thing that I wanted to do was to mount the big penis. There was a guy dressed in, he was a penis. So he was the penis. And I would not stop hugging this guy, and I think I actually made him feel uncomfortable, which was weird.
When your fantasy comes to life in HD and you mount,
yeah,
a human-sized penis.
I would not let go of the penis. That was my first Sexpo experience, but that was years ago already. And he was a nice brown penis as
oh,
well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So...
All right.
Sorry. Is that too far?
No, it's
is
not.
Is it too early?
No, I'm loving it. I'm loving this candid Mabale. Like, you know, I knew you had freaky in you.
I'm a freak.
I just didn't know your levels of freaky.
You know, to be 100% perfectly honest with you, I don't think that I should let everybody know the kind of freak that I am, because I genuinely am worried that there are levels to my freakiness that are not normal.
Freaky diggy yicky. Ooh-wee.
That would not be considered normal in the kind of society that we live in. You know when they end up profiling serial killers?
Hey.
You know, and then they have a whole list of, yeah, this is what makes a serial killer. You know, oh, well, you know, he started torturing animals when he was young. Or, like, he was very reserved. You know, they profile you. And I genuinely fear that I have things that don't make me a normal individual. And so I don't share everything like that.
Oh, okay.
But it's fine. I mean, here we are in a safe space. This is Sipping Tea on Cliff Central. I'm with Dumi Moraike. I can say anything. And I know that it's fine. You guys will not judge me. And
yes.
Agir.
Yeah. Unless that bill gets passed, then maybe some of the things you say will end you in jail. I don't know. I heard.
Anyway. But anyway, so let's talk more about your show.
My show, Tease.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tease is for people like me who are prudes and they don't realize they are prudes, or people who are self-confessed prudes. And it's just, you know, when Vanessa and I got together, right, we were like, let's do this show. You know, it's interesting that we're sexually liberated women, but we don't see anything that speaks to us sexual liberation. If you do watch something, it has to be a vagina monologuing, or, you know what I mean? Like, so we were like, okay, let's talk toys, you know?
Sex toys.
Sex toys.
Yeah.
Because I'm a straight woman, she's a gay woman, and our experiences of sex were surprisingly just similar, you know, when it came to, you know, toysies and little things like that.
Well,
and
they would be similar though, wouldn't they?
They would. But isn't it, I'm narrow-minded. Well, was. Now I'm healed.
Okay.
So, so we're like, how do we tackle this thing? How do we tackle sex in a way that says, you know, women, we love sex, but we are so ashamed of our own love for sex and our own need for sex,
yeah,
that we think it's okay for men to need sex, but we don't think it's okay for us to need, to feel like we need it or we really want it. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's a case of people looking at women and then thinking, no, but they can't enjoy it as much as the men, because if they do, then it's going to throw things
or their hopes
off balance, yeah, or it's going to,
yeah,
throw things off center.
But I think women impose that on themselves, if you think about it. You know what I mean?
No, we definitely need to own up our end of the responsibility for making ourselves feel a particular way, because, you know, sometimes you do interact with guys who genuinely, they don't care, because they understand. Look, at the end of the day, you and me, mammals, do it like they do.
Everybody does it, but no one wants to talk about it. We're all pretending we don't do it, yet we all know we are doing it.
Yes.
As we speak right now, there are people shagging like rabbits. As we speak right now.
Oh my God.
You know, somewhere out there, there's a woman who's screaming. She might be faking it. It might be real, but she's screaming.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, in a good way, not a bad way.
No, yeah.
So, so we decided to do this play. And what it is, it's just a story with heart, because apparently we got a review. I haven't read it yet, but I think whoever wrote it missed the point. But the point of our play is we're not trying to be exciting about sex and, ooh, look at what this does. It's not about shock. It's not about sleaze or smut. It's about a story. This is a story of two friends who are going through some shit in their lives. And sex is at the center of everybody's life, whether you like it or not. If you're married, you know sex is there. It's involved.
We like it. We need it. It makes us feel good.
Yes. So they've got, and it's a hair salon. So you know in the hair salons how women overshare all the time.
Yeah.
Like you always walk out of a salon going, I'm sure she shouldn't be telling people this.
I was not supposed to know.
I was not supposed to know. Yes, but we overshare like that. It's like a big therapy session. It's a place where we also walk away always feeling better. When you go to the hair salon without fail, you walk away feeling like 10 times the woman you were when you walked in.
Well, you're either going to walk out with some very good juicy gossip or you're going to walk out feeling a little bit better about your situation because you just listened to some other dramatic breakdown.
Yes, but also the look. You get to change who you were. I walk in with my short hair, I come out with my Brazilian, and I'm this hot woman with a different walk, with a different sway. So what we did is we combined a hair salon with a sex shop, because, you know, if we're gonna overshare,
okay,
you know,
so then how,
so these,
I'm trying to picture, I'm trying to get the visuals in my mind,
so
combining the hair salon
with a sex shop.
So you,
because
I mean,
if you think about it, that's where women are most free, right, about themselves.
In the hair salon.
In the hair salon. So what these two girls do is they're in CAC. They're in financial CAC.
Mm.
And then they decide to open a sex shop behind the hair salon.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. That's okay. I get it.
So that's the story. So if people want something that's nice and lighthearted fun, you know, because it's not one of those, gag, a minute, come, let's go laugh at sex and naughty things.
Mm.
It's more, let's go and enjoy. And for guys, let's go and discover, you know, what women are thinking and saying out there. And for ladies as well, to just go, cho, kante, I'm not on my own. These things are for real.
It's always interesting when you find out, hore, yeah, but I wasn't the only one who was going through this thing.
Yes, you're the only one who mounts giant penises, though. I'm yet to meet anyone else who attacks
giant brown penises. I don't know. I'm going to, for the sake of my sanity, I am going to think that there's at least one, just one other person who would do the same thing that I did when a big penis comes your way.
And it was the most comforting thing you could ever imagine.
I wrapped my arms around that thing. I held on tight.
Yeah.
It held on, and then I held on, and then it held on, and then I held on, and then it started to wiggle a little bit
because
it got a little bit uncomfortable and it wanted to let go, but I was still holding on.
Oh my God, as long as it didn't throw up.
Okay, so anyway. where can we see the show?
We're running at the Market Theatre. The tickets are at Web Tickets, and we're running until the 4th of December. So that's about it. Enough plugging of me already. Jeez. So that's what I've been doing, though, because, you know, you rehearse all day and then at night you're doing corporates. Like, I've been in Durban so many times because for some reason, you know, every year I get a city that's my city. Last year, Cape Town was my city. I had a lot of Cape Town gigs. This year, Durban seems to be the place, you know
Durban,
what I mean?
Durban is your side.
Hey, and it's such an easier trip, eh?
Yeah, like
50 minutes
definitely
in and out.
And, you know, the weather is a little bit more predictable than that Cape Town weather when the wind does its thing and then the rain and then
and
don't then
you're
know.
Like, what just happened?
And then the sun and you're like, okay, fine, crazy bitch, that's fine. Okay, so do we want to get into some of the stories that everyone is talking about? Because, you know, we are coming to the end of 2016.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are exhausted, but then again, that's what happens towards the end of the year. Mentally, you're fatigued.
Mm.
Your energy levels are running on empty. So we can't wait for all of this to be done.
No, the psychology of the country needs a break. Like right now, South Africa, basically needs to let out its collective inner child. We have been so angsty. We started off the year with angst. From January, we just landed in Jay, and it was just frustration.
Are you talking about, are we going to blame Penny Sparrow for those?
No, I'm not blaming Penny Sparrow.
For setting
I'm
the
saying
tone
the whole
for
year.
The, okay.
Yeah, well, look, you know, everything happens for a reason, and she was unfortunately an instrument in what happened in the year. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's not even her, because you must remember, when she happened, we were still recovering from the Wayne van Rooyen. Wayne van Rooyen.
There's van Rooyen.
There's the van Rooyen. I have a friend called Wayne. Now I'm thinking about Wayne, and then I say Wayne van Rooyen, and then Wayne's going to be like, but what did I have to do with anything this year?
Minister Weekend Special.
Yes, the Weekend Special.
That happened in December.
Yes, it happened in December.
2015.
Towards the end.
Okay. That's right.
The beginning of December. It happened in the beginning of December. And then we were all like going, well, WTF, because we're like, we've all gone, okay, our president is a little eccentric. He's a little cray.
Yeah, you know.
And then he did this and we're like, now we don't mind play, but now you're going too far. And then, so January, we're all still going, and like what happened, yeah? Because we're all too busy going on holiday to focus too much on that, right?
And I think also at the time, wasn't then when the student movement was still just, it was still getting that fire, like the coals were still being fanned and they were catching light.
Everything was building, so we were
the
bubbling.
The fire lighters were still there,
Yes.
Okay, so no, you're bubbling. Right. We started off bumpy this year.
And then we just boiled over.
Mm.
We boiled over when that bestseller came out, State Capture Report. Then we're like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm.
That's when we all looked at each other and we just had nothing to say except to look at each other and go, that's how I feel the country is. So now we are going into December.
Yeah.
Now what needs to happen here is we've had enough. We've had, our minds can't take it. Our hearts can't take it.
We're done.
We are being threatened with this new bill, this hate speech bill, and I'm still saying hold on to your horses. Let's not freak out yet. Not because we shouldn't, but because we are all going to lose our damn minds.
Still.
So what we need to do is
I thought we were done losing our minds.
No,
I don't think I have more energy in me to have another.
No, there's always reserve. There's always reserve.
Okay.
So in order for us not to exhaust the reserve, South Africa need to collectively call their inner children back. Some of them you sent your child to camp.
Mm.
Some of you have put your inner child in a naughty corner.
Mm.
Some of you have given your inner child a timeout. Now you need to call this child back and enroll them in this holiday program.
Mm.
It is time to let freaking loose.
Mm. But what does that look like, though? Does it look unresponsible and messy and gluttonous and just...
It's gluttonous. You're not going to ask yourself...
Or is that okay? Like, is it...
No.
When you say that we need to lose control...
We need to lose control a little bit.
Are we talking about, you know, that day when you finally... When you finally throw the diet out the window for the day and you just eat like you are.
No, but that's attacking yourself. Don't attack yourself. Just, you know, let me give you an example. It's like when you've been on that diet, but you know how much you love baked cheesecake. All right.
Okay.
And then you go to the Roast Cafe because they make the best baked cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And you order that one big cheesecake and you sit down with this thing with a fork with your phone off and you begin to indulge.
Okay.
You know when you eat this thing?
Yeah.
And it tingles in places you didn't know could tingle.
Bona. And you know, you must also be deliberate in how you are eating it. You can't just scoff it down.
You must take time
to know her, this cheesecake.
You can even see beads of sweat landing on your fork as your fingers look and in anticipation at the tingle that is going to reach your fingertips. Good, when you can sense ukuthi your nerve endings are also just teetering, waiting for this sensation. You know what I mean? That's what this country needs. Everybody needs to find that thing that makes them feel good and go, I'm going to do that thing that makes me feel good. Women are going to unleash their children on the house and go, play.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We just need to chill a little bit. Don't count how much the rent will cost you over the holidays. Just decide you are blessed, you are going on a holiday. You are blessed, you have a job to take a holiday from. And then you're going to be very honest with yourself and say, how much is that school fees? Because I know they sent us the papers to show what next year's school fees is.
Yeah.
And then you sit with yourself and say, self, are we paying full or are we paying half?
Or quarter.
But are we paying something so that come January, my stress isn't that this child's school fees isn't paid. My stress is, how do I recover money so I can cover the rest of this thing?
Okay.
If you don't have children, you are sitting there going, right, debit orders.
Mm.
I know that while I'm recovering from the hangover, it will not be the sound of music or someone speaking that's going to give me a headache. It will be a ding, 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 ding of those debit orders going off.
Mm.
So you're going to decide, am I pulling out this money and putting it and saying, if I finish this money, I'm out of money? Or are you saying, I'm going to take this money, that is going to be my spending money, and I'm leaving this much for the debits. And then you're going to have a good time. Kuri, you don't understand. No, we should all try for a month, for the month of December when we enter.
The whole of December.
The whole of December, not to complain about a damn thing. Even if you've done nothing wrong, you give officer 10 rand. Just because I can.
Especially because, you know, a lot of the time, half the things I feel that we complain about are really not worth complaining about if you just get a little bit perspective.
Ne? Yeah.
Because the saying is that there's always somebody who's worse off than you.
Yes.
So really, if you're not having such a bad time, then why are you moaning?
Oh God. No, it's angst. But also stupid things happen. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because that's the lesson I've learned. There's certain things that happen, which I honestly, and I always try not to call people stupid. I think it's very rude to call anyone stupid. Maraman. Hey, there are people who just fit the description so well.
Oh,
and you struggle with Oxford. You're like, Oxford, please give me alternative open thesaurus. Give me alternative terminology for this person is stupid.
Is it a verb? Is it an adjective? Is it a noun?
But some people, they are all encompassing in their stupidity.
So, I mean, are we talking about specific people or Jay, you are just putting it out there at random? Because we've got the prophet of doom.
Did you see the physical reaction I had to you saying that?
You almost leapt out of your chair. No. I want us to talk about this because, so we all know the story by now. A preacher from Limpopo is going around spraying his congregation with doom insecticide because he says that it helps heal them, blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't find any fault with it. And so the general consensus, as far as I can tell, is that these people of the congregation are...
I'm not saying they're stupid.
Okay.
I'm saying this guy is stupid.
Okay, the preacher is stupid.
People generally in churches, especially your happy clappy, and I know I'm going to get into trouble for this, but your happy clappy, your pop-up churches, I generally find are very gullible.
Mm.
Gullible and gullibility and stupidity are two different things. But when you take... Some things are just stupid. This guy is either mentally disturbed or I honestly have to call him stupid. But what's scary is that he's been able to sell his stupidity. It's doom. It's poison. Like, I don't even use that thing if my children are in the house. Now it is healing. Okay, I understand how this thing heals a house. That's not a metaphor. It's a literal thing. It literally gets rid of roaches, which I can understand how they can be demonic. So what I'm trying to understand is, are these people going, I am the house of the Lord, as me to me, to me is a house of the Lord, and my temple is to be kept clean, but my temple is apparently overrun with pests, and this priest is going to take this pest out of me, but he's not going to help me pay my medical bill when I react to this doom that's been sprayed in my eyes and my nose, that I've even, that I have, that I have ingested.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah,
he's, yeah. Is he healing that as well? I want to, because I'll tell you why. Why it angers me is because black people, now I'm speaking to my people.
Of the soil.
People of the soil break my heart. I find black people in this country, and perhaps it's all over Africa, but I only know the ones here very well. I find it very tragic how we will fight for freedom because we want to be the best us. And then we allow ourselves to fall victim to this kind of bullshit where we are allowing people who... don't have a background in theology, don't have any evidence that they are qualified in what they're doing, but we will follow them blindly, you understand, into anything. They say drink petrol, we'll drink petrol. They say eat grass, we'll eat grass. They step on our vaginas, they put their hands over vaginas and say, oh yeah, this thing is breathing, there's a beast inside it. You know, when you think about the kind of humiliation we are subjecting ourselves to, I'm going, is it some kind of sick residue of apartheid in that we miss the torture being brought onto us, therefore we'd rather bring the torture onto ourselves? Is that what's going on? Like, are we going, we are tired of having nothing to suffer, so let's invent something to suffer from? Like, I really don't understand, because I think we have enough effing problems.
Without creating problems
without
for
creating
ourselves.
Problems to ourselves.
If you are allowing
man.
Someone to spray doom in your face,
in your...
you are creating a problem for yourself.
No, man, this is sad, because also, you know what I've always hated about some of these churches is that fear-mongering. That whole, if you don't come to this church, you're going to be poor. You're going to be unloved. You're going to be lonely. If you want money, if you want a family, if you want a man, if you want to not be alone, come here. You know? What happened to church? Because for me, it reminds me of that priest who said some racist shit. Is... the house of the Lord, guys. I've always understood the house of the Lord to be a safe place to be. It's a safe haven. It's our refuge. It's where you go when the world doesn't make sense. That's where you go to look for sense. Yet the most nonsensical things are happening in there. Huh?
Now I saw the conversation or the dialogue take an interesting turn throughout yesterday and then also into this morning. And one of the tweets that I saw was somebody saying, so you people will call these people who are having doom sprayed in their faces stupid, but you are also the same people who, you know, take communion every Sunday because somebody told you that you are eating the body of Christ and you are drinking the blood of Christ when you drink wine. And so the conversation then was starting to shift into, but the problem here is a bigger problem. You are also the same people who believe that there was a woman who gave birth to a son without having had sex, and it was a miracle baby, and it was, you know, the virgin birth, blah, 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 blah. So then the question then became, who are you to decide what levels on the stupid radar we all fit in? Because most of us all believe in something.
Yes.
You know, there's also the church of the spaghetti monster. This is a real thing, where they wear colanders on their head and you know, they are all types of different belief systems that we encounter that we might not be used to. These systems are foreign to us. And then our knee-jerk reaction is to think, oh, but those people are weird, hey? Like, these people are weird because they practice this and they do this in their church. And those people are weird because they practice this and they do this in their church. Me, what I'm doing is perfectly normal and it's perfectly fine because this is how I grew up doing it and I know it to be this way. And no, it doesn't seem weird to me.
Okay.
But then the question was, but we are all... like, we all believe in something and these things that we believe in are... of varying degrees. Mm-hmm. So then who am I to say, when are you stupid for drinking petrol?
Okay, let me ask. Okay. Now, all those examples of unleavened bread, etc.
Mm.
What does unleavened bread kill? Because I'm speaking very specifically to this thing. So what do you use to kill?
No, you don't kill anything.
Okay. So it's not any kind of poison. Here's my...
It doesn't bring you harm.
Okay, so
let's
discuss.
Yeah.
So Doom has resmethin, right? Resmethin is a pyrethroid insecticide with many uses, including the control of adult mosquito population. Mm-hmm. So maybe demons have the same composition as an adult mosquito. Okay.
You know, I'd like to think that demons pack a little bit more power than the mosquito.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the demon is supposed to be the scary thing. And if you're like, just like a mosquito, then I'm going to feel like, demon, I can take you down.
Yeah. But isn't it, why are we, when it's okay for us to take a communion, are we laughing at people? Wait, I want to tell you the side effects of Doom insecticide, because I've never in church heard anyone say, if you drink this thing or eat this thing, make sure the children are outside, otherwise they are going to have terrible side effects. Okay. So the side effects, all right, they say you must consult a physician or pharmacist for product. You see, I'm trying to Google it and it's telling me, is it safe to drive or operate heavy machinery when consuming? Consuming what?
I don't know, but...
Oh, wait, I'm looking at the wrong thing. But here's the point. The point is, I understand this thing to be a poison.
Mm.
We've all, at some point, used insecticide to kill insects.
Mm.
Don't have a stupid argument with me. Have an argument that makes sense.
Mm.
Don't compare taking food, consumable, and having a poison
sprayed in your face.
Consumption of petrol.
It's probably not a good thing.
it's
I'm gonna guess.
Has anybody heard from anyone who drank that petrol or ate that grass?
I don't recommend drinking petrol even on a day.
I mean,
even on a day.
If we are so crazy, why is the company that sells this thing coming out and saying, people, seriously, this thing is dangerous?
Yeah, Tiger Brands released a statement.
I hope nobody responded to that person who was comparing taking insecticide.
No, they did, obviously. And then it waged into a full-out war, because
faith is faith, but people,
seemingly that's the only way that we can have discussions and debates and conversations.
Taking advantage of people's faith is wrong. Full stop. I'm sorry. It's when you take advantage of people. Because also imagine how much did they have to pay to get sprayed as well? Because then they're going to be buying the Doom from him. And then he buys it at a price, marks it up because now it's holy. And then these people must buy the spray. Huh?
So
people
then
are being conned. So don't come here with your high and mighty bullshit. Because the person who brought up that argument themselves would never let anyone spray Doom in their face. So unless they send us a selfie of them spraying themselves with Doom in faith, they must just shut the fuck up and stop arguing for argument's sake.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine. I mean, this is.
I'm annoyed.
I'm annoyed. Why? Okay, what's annoying about what?
Because I really find that, you know, a lot of us need God and we need that God relationship and a spiritual life, because it's rough out in these streets. It really is. Most of these people, if you look at them, they're not even wealthy people. They're just people who are some desperate, some lonely, some who just need that connection. And then you come with this BS, man, just so you can make some money. It's rubbish. It's wrong.
You know what I think? I think you hit the nail on the head when you say that people need, and I think we need different things. So for some people, you know, for them it's alcohol, and then they end up drinking too much of it, and they abuse it, and then they become an alcoholic. For others, it's a drug addict. For somebody else, they become addicted to sex, and then, you know, the next thing they know, their lives are spiraling out of control, and then they need to find something. And then, you know, for other people, it's religion, you know, that is what makes them comfortable or brings them comfort.
I just
think that is the nature of our species, is this constant need. And I don't know what this, where this thing comes from, but it does, you know, it does worry me a little bit, know that we are always so needy sometimes.
And for me, some of these
and
guys,
then what we end up doing is we all substitute that feeling for, you know, for something different. Drugs, sex, money, I don't know, animals. Because, you know, people are doing weird stuff out here with animals as well. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of us. I don't know how to fix
it. I just think my people need to just catch a wake up now. We're wasting time. We have our Zania to save. There's no time to be storming ourselves in the face. Ah, man.
Okay, well, you know what? With that, we're gonna take a little bit of a break, because I don't like it when you're upset.
No, it's upsetting.
Askisi. So we're gonna take a little bit of a break, and then when we do come back, what we can do, because I think this will lighten the mood again. Because yes, as you know, men and women on.
Are you going there?
We are going to go there. So men and women on social media behave in very strange ways. You would almost swear, Hori, we absolutely despise each other, and we don't all end up going home with each other, shacked up, loving each other the whole night long with some of the things that we say about each other. And so the whole, I wanted to get into the whole men are trash thing, South African men this, South African women that. You know, I'm just like, can we find a resolution, people? Huh? Can we please find a resolution?
I think we get bored, and our boredom is very expensive.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Coming up right after this. This is still your anthem, ne? This
proper.
Is
still, it's still my ringtone, even.
Yeah, no. This is a good song, though.
This is
Quest.
If I die before you, do me a favor. Make sure when the coffin's going down, play this song.
Okay, no, I've got you.
And you guys must pour booze on my coffin there.
Okay, no, we take like old school, old school.
The priest must be angry. If the priest is not angry, it was not a good funeral.
okay, fine. So. Maobane, yet again, the topic of how South African men are apparently ugly was brought up again on Twitter. And it very quickly deteriorated into, you know, the women versus the men. Because, you know, Mos Hore.
Wait, so it became South Africans are ugly. Then it became South African men are ugly.
There was a girl who once made the statement, ya hore, South African men are ugly. And then the South African men got very upset, because understandably so.
Nobody. I didn't know men cared whether they were ugly or not.
Nobody likes being told, Hore, you are ugly.
Since when did men care?
So it turned into this whole us versus them thing, where it was the men versus the women. And yesterday I saw people talking about this conversation yet again, and then it got roped in with the whole men are trash thing again.
Oh, my God.
And you know what, Dumi? I mean, you were talking earlier about how, you know, we have all these feelings inside of us, all this pent up.
Yes,
I don't know if it's aggression or if it's frustration. I don't know what it is, but I'd like us all to get to the point where we can just unleash and release all of this thing that is pent up inside of us. Because how much longer are we going to keep fighting? We fight every day with each other.
Do you know, every day we are fighting
about something.
Do you know what I really enjoy when you follow those hashtags and those arguments is how many people are hurting out there. You have a baby mama who did you wrong. You have a baby daddy who did you wrong. You have someone who just proper shattered your heart, and now you've decided that the entire gender must pay. You understand?
Okay.
I'm sorry, but some of these things, you read them and you just detect bitterness. You just want to say, baby, ubita shame.
And ask you, see, because because sometimes that's life for you.
It is.
It kicks you in your stomach.
Yes.
It knocks the breath out of you.
Yes.
You fall down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little longer for you to get back up again, but that's what happens. That's life.
But I have to disagree with the person saying South Africans are ugly. I think we have the best good, we have the best looking population in the world. One of the best looking populations in the world. We are mixed masalas of so many races. We're also, and then you find the thoroughbreds, and even the thoroughbreds have these distinct features where you're like, yes, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, because you know, I look at my circle, let me look at my circle of South Africans that I see. Because you know, also now sometimes you can't really identify what's a South African and what's not.
Hey, yeah, because you're right, because sometimes you do get those mixtures. Mm. So you don't know who, okay, but when Vele, your father could be from Jamaica.
But have you seen the chocolates? You will find this girl is as dark as Cora to midnight, but damn it, she's beautiful. Cora, she's just well put together. She just looks like, you know, that 70% dark chocolate when they've just put a little bit of chili in it. Ooh, and you're like, yes, queen, yes. And then you get that yellow bone as well.
On the extreme opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes, you're like, the sun refuses to romance you. And it ducks and dives. You only get kissed by the moon. And you're like, yes. And then you meet your kubas. And you're like, kubas, how did your skin manage to find that level of just above 10, but not too brown? And you are thick enough for me to know that when you hold me, I will know I'm being held right now. You know? Uh-huh. And then sometimes you get that Thomas, and Thomas just looks chiseled. He looks like God was in a good mood. He just brought out his instruments and just chiseled away. Mm. And then you find your Ntokozo, who is just, she is African Botox.
It defies all sense of biology and gravity, and because you know her butt cheeks are just like they just sit there on their own. And if you wanted to put your plate of cheesecake on it, it would stay there and you could eat off of it. Variety. I have always been a fan of variety. My approach to these kinds of situations is, you know, have a little taste of everything because it makes for an interesting and exciting experience.
Proper. Now, she's not encouraging buffet, babe. She's saying open your horizons a bit more. Yeah, no. This thing of ugly, we already trashed that one. It's bullshit. Then when we look at the whole men are trash, that hashtag of men are trash, rather specify which kinds of men are trash, because I believe that our sisters, we have trash ourselves.
There is trash we own. Of course.
And
we do.
All, what we must realize is, as there are some men who specialize in a specific kind of trash, and there are women who specialize in a specific kind of trash. And there I will say, yes, you are right. Let's have the hashtag men are trash, but keep it within a context, because you cannot write off all men and say they are trash.
But as soon as people say not all men or not all women, the people who are spreading the men are trash or women are trash hashtags get very upset because they say that, you know, for them it's about, well, especially with the men are trash hashtag, you know, they trying, the point that they say they're trying to get across is, no, it's about the fact that, you know, men have, because of patriarchy, men have benefited from all sorts of privileges, you know, that whole narrative. And, you know, it's about time that women's voices get heard. And, you know, you can't keep shutting women down. It, you know, it goes back to that whole argument when they try and explain to you why apparently it's wrong to say not all men or not all women.
Yeah, but you see, but the minute we start making conversations like that, okay, then one day we're going to have the hashtag white people are trash. Mm. And then the excuse will be what? Oh, because you've oppressed us for so long and we've lived under your colonies and we've lived under your rule. No, leave us to have our voices because we didn't have a voice for a long time. Then it's going to become the hashtag black people are trash because, oh, now you have the power. You have silenced us. We don't have a voice. You understand? For me, it's, you let one of these things slide, you're going to start a slippery slope to hell where everything will be allowed to go.
And then at the end of the day, we're all going to be trash. And then what did it matter anyway?
But I mean, if you go hashtag men are trash and it's all about, let's say, attitudes around rape, for me, then I'll happily support that hashtag, because they will be saying, what are we saying? We're saying that given patriarchy, given how these situations are dealt with, it's always about the woman. We are not asking why these guys are doing it, how they're doing it. We're not teaching them how to stop doing it. We're talking about how to keep us from attracting it, which is BS, because there's still no formula that tells you why it's happening to women.
You see, the papgeld thing,
because I discovered there are women who don't pay papgeld, because you know, they'll be like, hashtag men are trash, you guys don't pay papgeld, you know, wah, wah, wah. And then to discover that, well, actually, there are some women who also dump their babies with the men and are not supporting these poor guys. And they are as trashy as that man who's not supporting his child,
and
you know?
And they disappear, never to be seen or
never
heard
to be seen or heard from again.
I just worry that at some point, none of us are going to be listening to the dialogue that's supposed to be happening, especially when it comes to serious issues like the rape example that you mentioned.
Then we stop listening, yeah.
Because what you do is, you know, you have a blanket statement that basically it attacks a whole demographic of people. So, okay, men are trash. Immediately in my mind, I think that what happens is that they all shut down and they stop listening to us anyways.
And then
you want to start to have a conversation with them about, no, listen, this is why I say that you are wrong here, A, B, C, D. But then it's too late.
So they should change the hashtag.
And then we're all just screaming and shouting at each other anyway, but nobody's listening.
You know which ones are like? The ones where they go, hashtag, you know you're not the one when. Or hashtag, you know he's playing you in. Then that's different, because you're calling out those guys who are trash in that regard.
Yeah.
But at least you are speaking to a specific kind of guy and you're not blanketing all the guys, you see?
Yeah.
So I think what they need to do is just rethink their hashtags. You know, but on the other hand, maybe let's go. Okay, when you say, maybe the hashtag needed one more word, which is when.
Men are trash. When.
Then you go, you're being specific. You're not saying all men are trash. You're saying when this happens, you're trash. You know. Don't you think?
No, I think so, because
I don't know. It just feels like it must be adjusted.
No, yeah, I think so, because look, you know, it's very difficult when having conversations, because some people, you know, genuinely want to have a serious discussion, and then others will see the funny side of it and be like, ah, no, let's take this thing and make jokes out of it. So, you know, like then sometimes the hashtag does become funny. You know, somebody will say, oh my gosh, I overslept this morning. And then I spilled coffee on my dress while I was trying to rush out of the car. Men are trash. Like in that instance, I understand that, oh, okay, you're being funny because, you know, you're playing on the hashtag and all of that. But that's fine. Look, it's almost time for us to wrap things up. And I did want us to talk a little bit about, you know, people with real life problems, because up until today, I did not think that somebody like Kanye West has real life problems, because, you know, in my mind, I'm a very judgmental poor person. And when I see rich people struggling with life, I get upset, because I'm like, but
you're rich.
You already have this leg up that the rest of us are doing without. And now you want to tell me that you have problems. Okay.
Yes, because now you have the money that can support the problem.
So now the man was taken in for psychiatric evaluation. And
I to be honest, Uncle Kanye should have been taken for psychiatric evaluation a couple of years ago. A long time ago. I remember actually saying it to my husband. I was like, man, Kanye doesn't look like he's completely 100% upstairs. I was like, man, speaker is a law. So, man, you know when they say speaker is chepuchi? Because right now what's happened is the speaker is chepuchi. For those who don't understand the vernacular, what I'm saying is that his screw is gone.
Yeah,
but before it was loose. And it's a little awesome.
Yeah,
now it's just...
Now it's gone. And he's on his hands and knees and he's trying to find the speaker, but he can't find it because it's now slid underneath the couch.
But I suppose he's a
somewhere.
Musician. The right term to use for him is that Muchino Jadi Kaset. That's what people say. But I find like mental illness is such a serious thing, because you know, people are under pressure, and like you said, people with money as well, people expect you to be so together.
Well, I expect you to have it easier than the rest of us.
How? Because you need to make the money and maintain it.
No, okay, that fair enough. Okay, that is fair. That is fair. Okay. All right. No, that's fine.
So don't judge other children.
No, I'm very judgmental of, you know, when people who are wealthy, people with, you know, with ways and means that the rest of us don't.
You forget those are the people.
When these people want to tell me about how they're having a rough day, I just want to say, fuck you. I'm having a rough 6 months right now.
But you are getting.
And you have like maybe two of the problems that I have, and I have 50 problems.
But you are seeing a photographer's version of the life they live.
Okay.
You don't know what life
you know
living.
What? I am willing to
I am rough lime shabeni.
Well, look, I don't know what it's like to be Kanye West. So actually, look, why should I think that I'll be
honest. I've met enough rich people, and I have been surprised at how many of them are on some kind of medication. And it's interesting. There's this other one though. She's on the meds because you know sometimes you have mental illnesses that need chronic medication.
Mm.
And there's this one who literally was like, and I told my psychiatrist, I want those new ones that they've got in the UK because you lose weight on those ones. I mean, look at me. Imagine how I'll be treating the madness and looking good. And I'm thinking, you see, that's when you have money. You're going, don't just heal me, make me look good, bitch.
Make me look perfect.
Anyway, are we hugging any meme today? I know who we're going to hug.
Okay, let's...
Can you please hug any man who got splattered by blood during the hashtag men are trash?
Oh, shit.
Saga.
Are we talking about the innocent ones?
The innocent ones.
Bystanders.
Like the one, she didn't tell you she was pregnant, and then she brings the child, and the child is 6 months old, and she immediately expects you to be taking responsibility when you yourself must first deal with the shock.
Mm.
And obviously, like any other person, question whether that really is your child, because then why didn't they tell you they were pregnant to begin with?
Mm.
So stuff like that. There are some guys who you'll find, he looks at it and is like, okay, you're describing me, but how the fuck was I supposed to know that this really was my child? Now I must look bad for asking for paternity test. Yet this child arrived this long after it had been born, and I had no idea this was going on.
I like that. I like what you are doing here because, yes, hashtag men are trash, but not all men. And so our hugger man today is for all those men that we speak of when we say not all men are trash.
Especially the ones who take out the trash.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
And we will be back with you next week, Tuesday. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much. It's always good to, you know, to hang out with you.
Ah, the reunion feels good. Let's take this into Christmas, shall we?
Yes, let's do
Lovely.
That. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.